Vinny, I don't know if you know this about the Fiesta Bowl. The quarterback of LSU has been here twice for Ohio State. Do you know that? Joe Burrow? Heard of this cat?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. He said in his first year at the Fiesta Bowl, he got a big red recliner that had a USB in the side of it where he could charge his phone, and he thought he was on top of the world. Anything that allows a kid to charge his phone, it is genius, right?
I will say this. This is kind of a, I never really thought of it until now, but to hear that quote from Joe Burrow, it is kind of a goal of mine sometime in the future to have a piece of furniture that I can plug my phone into. Whether it's a recliner, a couch, those coffee tables, sweet.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah. He loved the chairs so much that apparently he drove it back to school with him and barely got into a car. Said if he had hit one bump, the thing would have taken out one of the windows. So there you go. I'll never forget, as long as I live, Ohio State showing up for the Fiesta Bowl. And all anybody could talk about was the airplane they took to get here. It was a double-decker Boeing 737, maybe. I don't know. Where every seat was like hand-stitched with leather, had the Ohio State logo, every seat reclined, just incredible opulence. Now compare that to the Herm Edwards milkshake bus tour.
Well, we found out what flavor it was.
We did.
Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate
chip.
Which
is a fantastic choice.
Oh, it is, but it's not worthy of the raving that he did about it. You know what I mean? I mean, mint chocolate chip's really good, especially this time of year. A good peppermint milkshake this time of year is all that. But Herm, like, I thought Herm was going to get something with caramel and chocolate and milk duds.
Yeah, he made it sound like it was like this unheard of flavor combination.
Yes.
Nothing of the sort.
Yes.
Hoping to track down Mark Schlereth of NFL on Fox and 104.3 The Fan in Denver to talk some NFL. But
well, let's, and until we do.
Week 15 gets underway tonight. Maybe.
Yeah.
In the top two or three matchups on Thursday Night Football we've seen all year.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Rams, Vikings, Cowboys, Saints was pretty good. This one's right up there. Chargers and Chiefs because, you know, divisional importance as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And I think that it's an important game for Kansas City because, look, they had a very traumatic event in the middle of their season just in the context of how they're trying to win a Super Bowl. And that guy is Kareem Hunt. And, you know, props to them for hanging on. Eric Reed is supposed to take the field again tonight. That's going to be a super emotional scene. Thursday
night. Eric Berry.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Eric Reed. You're thinking Andy Reed.
I think I've said that twice now. Eric Berry.
Reed, when he returned to the field, that caused a different kind of emotion.
That's a good point. Well said. Yes, it did. Eric Berry. It's going to be his first appearance of the season. He's got a special place in Kansas City. It's going to be a cool scene. Thursday Night Football in Kansas City is a good scene. This is going to be a tough deal for the Chargers, who keep proving they're a little better than you want to admit they are. That's fair, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Not fair?
I don't think they're nearly as good as their record indicates. I think they have one decent win all season long. And, you know, it's a Thursday night game. I can't pick them to save my life.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I just made the determination. I'm picking the home team from now on. Kansas City's the home team. And I think Kansas City wins handily.
Okay.
That being said.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Carson Wentz, the Eagles have announced he has a fractured vertebra. And the rest of his season is in doubt. Now, this is the same weekend a year ago that Carson Wentz injured his knee, tore his ACL against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happened. Nick Foles came in and engineered the offense, took them all the way to the Super Bowl title. Is that the last hope for the Eagles? Could you imagine if 2 years in a row he did the same thing?
That's crazy. I mean, that's really amazing.
Look, the Eagles are not nearly as good a team as they were a year ago with Carson Wentz, and with Nick Foles. And I don't know if Nick Foles can be the X factor or the difference that they need to make noise in the playoffs.
Well, again, I've seen this before, and I really believe we dealt with this in 2002 with the Diamondbacks, where we had that championship season in 01. The ending of the World Series blew our minds. That's just what happened to Philadelphia and their Super Bowl. Magical postseason with an ending that blew their minds. Now they've had this follow-up season where just nothing feels right. And yet they still have a shot at the playoffs. You remember this from 02. Don't you remember your emotions with that baseball team?
Mm-hmm.
Lost Luis Gonzalez, and it didn't feel the same at all.
And it didn't look the same.
Didn't look the same. So, I mean, what an opportunity for the Dallas Cowboys to just reclaim their season in the middle of a stream. You know what I mean? That football team, that program, that head coach was drowning. And now suddenly they're back in a fast track. And they might even be a dangerous team in the playoffs. I don't know. This is the time that gets interesting because now weather is not only a factor in these games that are played outdoors, but it's positioning for games that are going to be even more important, where the climate is going to be even more influential to who wins a championship. And that's all about the race for home field advantage, seeding, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's one other story that I think that's interesting, and that is the latest developments. We talked already about the Suns and their arena situation that's going on. The situation going on in Oakland, where the city of Oakland is suing the Raiders now. There's all kinds of stadium uncertainty now, where the Raiders are going to play their home games, whether it's somewhere else in California, San Diego has come up, whether you play at Sam Boyne Stadium in Las Vegas for a year. Derek Carr was asked about it, and he's just like, yeah, it's weird. Raiders owner said, Mark Davis said, everything is an option. They are a team without a home right now.
Yeah.
Would that make them America's team?
No. I've got mixed feelings about it. San Diego would be an interesting temporary spot for them, but wouldn't that be kind of cruel for fans in San Diego to have another interloper come through there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially a hated interloper.
Yes.
I mean, for how many years were the Chargers and Raiders division rivals? No.
It's a joke, man. And
San Antonio? There was always those rumors about the Raiders moving to San Antonio back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time when the mayor of San Antonio was interested in poaching the Arizona Cardinals. That was before this team actually got good.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're teaming up with Bud Light to give you the chance to win the Bud Light best seats for the Cardinals-Rams game on December 23rd. You'll get on-field access, complimentary Bud Light, and, of course, the best seats in the house. Just text the word DILLY, D-I-L-L-Y, to 620-620 for your chance to win.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. NFL analyst Mark Schlereth talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler, proud sponsor of the Arizona Cardinals. No bull.
We talk NFL football every Wednesday, every Thursday. Well, Wednesday usually. We didn't have a show yesterday. I got confused on my days, forgive me. With Mark Schlereth, who joins us right now here on Bickley and Murata. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. We only have three more games to endure for the Arizona Cardinals, so things are getting better by the week.
Yes. Thank Lord. Hey, I only thank the Lord, and then it's spring training right around the corner, and you got everybody's loaded in Arizona. That's a great time. I mean, that's going to be a great time for you guys. Spring training time.
Oh, March in sports in Arizona, because you get you get spring training. You get the tail end. If you got a good basketball team, which we haven't had in a while, you get the tail end of the season. You get March Madness. It is a good time. I will give that to you. Speaking of the Cardinals, when we talked last week, they're coming off the win against the Packers, and everybody says, how did they do that? How in the bag were the Packers to get Mike McCarthy fired in that game? And the Cardinals kind of answered that question the next week against the Lions. I know they're shorthanded, Mark, but how do you explain a performance like that at home against a really bad football team?
Yeah, it is such a week-to-week league. And I think when you are that shorthanded and you are that bad, it doesn't take much for it to slide down. You know, I used to say this about bad teams all the time when I was playing, and I was on, I was just blessed to be on a lot of good teams. But on the bad teams, man, they're just waiting for something bad to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because coaches always say stupid stuff like, hey, we're going to have to play just about a perfect game to win this. Well, that to me is like, I'm just waiting for those guys that have heard that all week to screw one thing up, because never a perfect game has been played. You're going to screw something up, and then it opens up the floodgates. You know, momentum shifts, and you go about your business, and you actually throttle a team. So, yeah, I think you look at just from a talent standpoint, quarterbacking-wise with a veteran quarterback, and you look at just the overall talent of that football team, I think that, that Detroit's a more talented football team. I think their defense is exceptionally talented on all three levels. And so I think they're probably a more talented team than Arizona. But I tell you what, this league is crazy. It's such a week-to-week league, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to be consistent when you're struggling like yeah. Arizona's struggled since week one.
All right, I apologize for all the snowflakes coding this question, Mark, but is there any yeah. rationale in which the Cardinals should shut down Josh Rosen? Because there's three offensive linemen who are now rookies because he continues to get hit, because he's starting to be late on some of his reads, and because his inaccuracy has not gotten better. I'm seeing a guy who might starting to regress based on his circumstances. Is there any case to be built for giving him a ball cap and a clipboard?
If he's hurt, like if he's got something, you know, that's going on physically, then I would say, yeah, there is a chance. I think there's always an opportunity to learn from beatdowns. You know, I think one of the things that's amazing to me is, and I think this is just human nature, like success, like you learn far more from failure than you do success. Success is much more difficult to deal with than is failure, because when you have success, your natural ability to be humble about it, you know, you're so busy patting yourself on the back that you don't really learn a whole lot about yourself during those times. At least that's my experience. It's the beatdowns that you take where you really learn about toughness and about your mentality and your preparation and the ways to go forward. So, you know, I always feel bad for teams. I always am very skeptical of teams that have that one-year breakout where they've had a bunch of success, you know, and you're like, oh, my gosh, they finally figured it out. And then the next year is when I worry about them. Like, that team is going to go in the tank because they can't deal with that. They don't work the same. They take things for granted. So I think you can learn a ton about yourself and about your football team when you struggle the way they've struggled. And so those things to me are valuable experiences, really valuable experiences. And the only way I say, hey, listen, man, I'm going to pull the plug on Josh Rosen's season if he's legitimately getting hurt, yeah. like if he's legitimately got injuries. If not, I'm going to have him play.
Mark Schlereth, our weekly NFL guest. Of course, you can see him. He calls games on Fox for the NFL, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He's got the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He joins us every week here on Bickley and Murata. And you know, a follow-up on Josh Rosen from what we've seen so far. A lot was made of this rookie quarterback class, Mark, as you well know. Five first-rounders. They are all starting for their respective teams now. And of course, none of them are close to being a finished product in this league. But based on what you've seen, your eyeballs, what they've told you, how would you rank the five rookie quarterbacks so far to this point of the season?
Well, I mean, I think most of them are ranked incomplete. Obviously, Baker Mayfield is head and shoulders above everybody right yeah. now with what he's doing and the way he's playing. I called the Cleveland game last week, and, you know, somebody asked me, how do you explain Baker Mayfield? And I'm just like, he's all balls, man. Like, yeah. that dude is fearless, just absolutely fearless. And he has a chip on his shoulder. He has an attitude about him. And, you know, first thing you have to do to be a great leader, you got to be able to play. Like, there ain't nobody in the NFL that's following a guy who can't play. You know, you could be the greatest guy in the world, man. You can have all the slogans and you can have, you know, you can articulate all those slogans. If you can't play, we don't care. And so he can flat play. And I'm telling you what, to watch him manipulate a pocket, you know, he reminded me a lot of Favre. Now, he throws it exceptionally hard, but Favre threw it on arm talent hard. He throws it on, like, he creates velocity through rotational force that starts at his toes. And when he lets it go, it's like, I am going to throw it through a brick wall. But he's incredibly accurate down the field. But the attitude with which he practiced, the way he led his team, the getting in the face of veteran players saying, this is not good enough, we're going to do it this way, uh-huh. They respect the heck out of that kid. And I'm telling you what, if the Cleveland Browns were a stock, I'm buying. They have got a wow. ton of talent, and I believe in that kid. Lamar Jackson is a different story. Like, everybody else is, you know, under 50% completion, or under 60% completion, excuse me, more interceptions than touchdowns. Yep. Baker's the only one with over 60%, more touchdowns than, you know, than interceptions. And what he's been doing now that they made some corrections as an offense, and they fire their head coach and they fire their offense coordinator. Freddie Kitchens took over. They've really been great. The other kind of part of that, or the juxtaposition, if you will, Lamar Jackson. It's crazy. Like I played for 12 years. I blocked for a 2,000 yard rusher. I've been covering this game as an analyst for 18 years. So I'm talking about 30 years of being involved in the NFL. I have never seen an offense that created more gaping chasms in the running game than what Baltimore is doing right now. This is taking whatever collegiate RPO game, whatever collegiate zone running game, whatever that has been, and it's like a zone running game on the juice. I mean, it is like, you know, the thing that's been amazing, kind of the evolution of football, if you will, is that when you ran the ball in my day, it was always 10 on 11 because your quarterback didn't do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 10 offensive players versus 11 defensive players. And then they started the wildcat stuff and this zone read stuff that they do now all over the league. And now it became 11 on 11 football, right? With the blocking schemes that Marty Mordenwick has created in Baltimore, it is 12 or 13 on 11. I mean, they are optioning three dudes and not blocking anybody at the point of attack. It's crazy to watch. And you're getting guys off the scrap heap that weren't on rosters week one that look like superstar running backs. I mean, it is amazing. Now, don't get in third and eight because Lamar Jackson can't throw. Make no bones about it. Like, he is very inaccurate, very inconsistent. You know, mechanically, he's not very sound. He'll make some throws, don't get me wrong, because he's a great athlete. But you're not going to get out of, you know, you're not going to get yourself out of harm's way. But they're going to possess the ball. They're going to run it down your throat. And this is a historically good defense. I talked to John Harbaugh yesterday. He's like, we're historically good. If we would be in one of the top defenses of all time if we could just turn the ball over. And they're like top five in pretty much every category. They just haven't had any turnovers. They are phenomenal at all three levels. So
yeah.
Lamar Jackson is an interesting cat to watch. Everybody else is going through the growing pains because they're not on good teams.
All right. I guess there's a bigger story here then with the NFL adapting and adopting some of the stuff that colleges do well. And finally, they're like, you know, not looking down at what college football does. And I think it kind of ties into what you've talked about in terms of the league wanting high-scoring games to sell to a new generation. And I think you're right on the money with it. Yet in the midst of all that, the Vikings fire a guy in John DeFilippo, who was just last year considered to be one of these up-and-coming offensive guys.
Right, yeah. You know, and sometimes, I think sometimes the problem that you get into is that you get into a situation, and a lot of offensive coordinators are this way, where everything is bent towards offensive football, right? And everything is bent to throwing the ball. And so you get into a situation where you're like, hey, listen, if I can put up huge numbers, like Kirk Cousins, you get Kirk Cousins who, you know, probably made $84 million based on fantasy numbers and not on real football, you know, based on fantasy football, not real football, because he puts up great numbers. But then when you see, hey, he's never really won against anybody that's above 500 and, you know, he's 0-7 on Monday nights and he's like 4-24 against teams with a winning record. I mean, when you start going through it, it's eye popping. And so if you're John DeFilippo, you're like, hey, man, if I can turn this around and we can put up those offensive numbers and this kid can win and we can erase all that negative talk, I'm on the fast track to being a head coach. And so what ends up happening to these offensive gurus or these offensive coordinators is they tend to forget that at the core, you still have to be able to, one, run the football for no other reason than to protect your offensive line. Your offensive line are the worst athletes on the football field. And if you sit back and you're going to say, hey, we're going to throw it, we're going to get in three wides, and we're going to do this, and we're going to protect the edges, then you're going to get throttled. And you look at Minnesota, and I have no idea because I haven't looked at the numbers, but I know last year they were either two or three in attempts per game. I guarantee you they're nowhere close to that anymore. Uh-huh. And so essentially, you've got an offensive guru that's going to throw the ball and prove what a genius he is, and yet you're going to expose a group that I didn't think was very good last year. I thought they got protected by the way Pat Shurmur called plays, and it ended up working out for both Case Keenum and that offensive line and that whole team in general. And, you know, you tend to forget the complementary nature of football. If you possess the ball and you get attempts, like, I don't even really look at yards per carry anymore. Everybody gets fascinated by that, right? Well, shoot, half the defense anymore, even though defensive coordinators will tell you, hey, listen, here's our number one priority is we're going to stop the run. And then they play you in dime the whole game with six DBs. Really? That's your number one priority? No. If you can get 6 yards of carry, we'll give it to you because you're going to have to put 8 to 10 plays together. And we feel like you're going to get a holding call, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot, or you're going to the red zone and we're going to cram it in there and not get worried about beating over the top in the passing game. And we'll survive making you kick field goals because it's so much easier to score today. So I think a lot of offensive coordinators can't swallow their own pride.
Yeah.
And can't say, this is what's best for us to win. You know, here in Denver, man, I went off today because Von Miller said, hey, I didn't have the right mindset in San Francisco because I was two sacks away from breaking the all-time Broncos record set by Simon Fletcher. So I was going after the sacks, and that's why I jumped off sides 4 times, and that's why I cost my – like, you're kidding me. You're in a playoff game against the Niners who are 2-10 and a chance to go, a chance, you won 3 straight, you beat Pittsburgh, you beat the Chargers, you beat Cincinnati on the road. You've got a chance to finish 10-6 and put yourself right squarely in the playoffs. And what you're concerned about is building your brand and being the number one sack guy in Denver Broncos history. Like, what's wrong with this pitcher?
Yeah.
Like, hey, if that comes, great. But you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about winning. I look at Brian Schottenheimer in Seattle. Brian Schottenheimer is probably never going to get a chance to be a head coach because maybe he will, but he has been one of these offensive coordinators who's been much maligned. You know what? Russell Wilson, they don't care. They run the ball. That's what they're going to do. They don't care about numbers. They don't care about ego. They don't care about anything. They looked at themselves after 2 weeks in the season and said, what do we have to do to win? And they all made sacrifices. You sacrifice, you know, throwing the ball around and doing all these things because you know ultimately that's going to cost you victories. And they did it. And I tip my hat to Brian Schottenheimer because yeah. It takes a dude that's willing to swallow his pride and not think about ego. Good for him.
Yeah. Mark, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
My pleasure. Take care.
Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox 104.3, The Fan in Denver, Stink of Truth podcast, and, of course, the purveyor of the best green chili sauce in the world. Schlereth's green chili, available at Costco.
I wouldn't argue with that. It's really good.
It's delicious. He joins us every week to talk NFL. Coming up next, a little yay or nay action. A day late and probably a dollar short. Yeah. We'll find out. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. With DeAnthony Melton's strong play and 3 starts, what should the Suns do at point guard? Your choices, start Melton the rest of the season, trade for an established point guard, and make Melton the backup. Again, Groundhog Day. Melton in his 3 starts, by the way, has averaged 31 minutes. He's shooting 39% from the floor, 37%, decent mark from three-point range, 14 points, 6 assists, almost 5 rebounds a game. Pretty good numbers. But again, and I've warned against this before.
Why doesn't Robert Sarver play point guard? If he really wants to be involved, let him play point guard. If he wants to take it to a new level, put on the uniform, Robert. Play point guard.
That wasn't one of the options.
Take it all the way. You own the thing. Take it all the way.
I'm voting trade for an established point guard to make Melton the backup. You agree?
What? No, I don't agree. I don't agree to trade for anybody at this point in time. I just let Melton play.
So now you don't want to make a trade?
I don't. Well, if it's long-term based, but I don't think any trade they make now is going to be long-term based. Look, it's to me, I just... The day-to-day,
I like your idea.
Yeah, play point guard. Well, seriously, just take it all the way.
62% say trade for an established point guard. 38% say start DeAnthony. You can cast your vote in the Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Bickley and Murata. See or no? We or nah? Yay or nay?
All right, normally on Wednesday, we didn't have a show yesterday, so we thought we'd bring back this fan favorite on Thursday.
It's just like a proxy Wednesday show today.
It is.
We have our Wednesday Claris guest, the Wednesday segment.
Yeah, we got Paul Bissonnette coming up. It is like a proxy Wednesday. Good name for a band.
It is weird.
Yeah, I like that.
Because we didn't have a show yesterday. Today feels like a Thursday, a Wednesday, and a Monday all at once.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very weird.
I agree with that.
All right, we just talked about the poll question and what should the Suns do at point guard. Luka Doncic coming to town also. A lot of people are starting to think that maybe they made a mistake with taking Ayton instead of Luka. But, yay or nay, the bigger mistake long term will be taking Josh Jackson over De'Aaron Fox.
No, I have a very unpopular answer. I'm going to say nay as well.
Wow.
I'm not giving up on Josh Jackson.
Well, and to me, it's not even that. It's at the time, I know De'Aaron Fox was highly rated, but
he was
wasn't
the next
like
pick, right. I think,
but it wasn't like okay. It wasn't like the either or we were getting with Doncic. To me, that was a debate that went on for months. Nobody was debating.
Right?
Should we take De'Aaron Fox with that pick?
So it's almost in retrospect, though, because the Suns still don't have a point guard, because the Kings are doing surprisingly well.
Yeah,
Fox is having a great season.
That's right.
Imagine if Sacramento with the number 2 pick would have got Doncic instead of Marvin Bagley, who's been the most disappointing of the top 5 picks.
Or Atlanta traded Doncic for Trae Young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so many things that they could have done differently, I suppose. Last night, the Toronto Raptors, without Kawhi Leonard, blew out the Warriors in Golden State. Yay or nay, the Warriors will not win the NBA title this year.
Nay, the Warriors will win the NBA title. This is all orchestrated by the NBA to make things interesting for the first time in like 5 years.
I'm gonna, what he said. I'll have what he had.
Really? All right.
Yeah, no, really. Come on. Look at that starting lineup. Yeah, it was very impressive with Toronto. Toronto's beat them twice now. Once with Kawhi, once without. Okay? Toronto's legit.
They're good.
But, once the playoffs begin, really, when you roll that starting lineup out there, it's going to be... It will once again make a mockery of everything we spent talking about in December and January and February.
Guess what, Vic?
What?
DeMarcus Cousins hasn't played yet.
I know that.
Doesn't mean it's going to work when he comes back, though.
Yes,
everything works out for that team.
Well, the biggest advantage...
DeMarcus Cousins is like DeAndre Ayton. He leaves a lot on the table, and he still gets 25 and 10 every night. So, yes, he's going to make a difference.
And the biggest difference is this year, the West is not that good, so it might not be as hard to get to the finals for the Warriors.
True.
All right. Today is Jamie Foxx's 51st birthday.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yay or nay, Jamie Foxx's portrayal in Ray is the greatest portrayal ever of a rock musician, musical artist, whatever, in a movie.
It's up there.
Joaquin Phoenix, Johnny Cash.
Rami Malek is Freddie Mercury.
Right.
Swin Cash. Norm Cash. Oh, Dave Cash.
We're finally done with those.
Cash Money.
Cash Money.
No, we're finally done with those.
Bucks Cash Me Outside.
How about that?
I'm going to say yay. He won the Oscar for that, didn't he?
Yes. Val Kilmer, Jim Morrison, Rami Malek, Freddie Mercury.
Val Kilmer, yes.
I'm going to say nay. I'm going to say Freddie Mercury. You saw that movie. Does it get any better than that?
He was good.
Darling.
He was really good. It's surprising they've never, ever, ever done an Elvis movie, theatrical.
You'd be the guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sideburns are getting it done, aren't they?
Guess who it is.
Well, Elton John's coming up next.
That's true.
Elvis can't be far behind. Or Michael Jackson. That'd be a fun movie, huh?
Well, another one where... All right, today is National Violin Day.
Oh, great. I didn't get you guys anything. I apologize.
Yay or nay, the most annoying instrument to hear played badly is a violin.
it's up there.
I don't know. A tuba in the wrong hands can be really, really awful.
Drums.
I don't know. We've worked with Jared on this show for several years. A voice is an instrument, correct?
Wait a minute. No, that's true.
Yeah, I'm going to say nay. I'm going to go. We've all been stuck listening to really bad karaoke, too, at different points of our life.
Oh, yeah.
When you, as a guitar player, when you hear someone who's really bad on guitar, does that really frustrate you, annoy you?
Being semi-hackish myself, I would say probably not as much as other people.
No, but I mean,
I will say this.
How often are normal people exposed to bad guitar playing? Never.
That's true. And I don't put myself in position to play guitar badly. See what I'm saying? Now, if I try to rip out Van Halen solos...
Are you saying you put yourself in a position to be successful?
I would say both.
Okay. All right, and finally, the big movie coming out this weekend is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yet another Spider-Man movie.
Is getting rave reviews,
and
by the way.
It looks very interesting. It's very cool. But, yay or nay, you have ever been bitten by some sort of wild animal or bug? Other than just, like, you know, a mosquito or something.
Yeah.
Something unusual.
I've gotten nailed twice by a bark scorpion. You know that.
Bitten? No, stung, though.
Stung. Okay, you want... So you're differentiating between a bite and a sting.
Correct. Never bitten by a snake or some kind of furry animal?
I was bitten by a radioactive lazy man. And it has taken my laziness to superhuman level.
He kind of just gummed you, though.
He didn't break the skin or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
you've never been bitten by the love bug? Oh.
Or how about a dog? Never been bitten by a dog?
No.
Jarrett, animals
are the worst. Agree. I was hoping you'd say that.
All right. That's yay or nay for this week. Coming up next, another reminder, in case you needed one, that in the sports world, trust absolutely no one. We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Right around that corner.
Yeah?
There is a sandwich shop.
Right?
They sell meatball sandwiches.
Okay.
Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Utah.
What?
Give me two.
Bickley and Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios on this Thursday. Just 14 minutes away or so from the Bickley Blast. And I have a feeling...
What?
It's
really?
I have a feeling it's going to be extra scorchy today.
Oh, scorchy. I like that word.
Yeah. This story... This is on the heels of a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, maybe 6 weeks. I don't know. I've got no concept of time anymore. We brought up that story about the Ottawa Senators when they were in town to take on the Coyotes and how they were... Five or six members of the team in a van driven by an Uber driver who had a dash cam filming everything that was going on in the van. And they were having a conversation about their frustrations with the team. So this dorkish Uber driver said, what team do you guys play for?
Uh-huh.
And they said, Ottawa, eh? And he released the video and it made for a really uncomfortable situation for doing something that I think... Most employees at whatever workplace, they vent about what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. I thought that Uber driver should have been fired. Maybe he has.
No, I'm with you.
I don't know.
I'm with you.
There's another kind of similar example of this in the sports world. Washington Redskins linebacker Mason Foster, on a private...
Mason Foster, George Foster, Jody Foster.
Foster Brooks.
Foster Brooks. Sorry.
Brooks Robinson.
Sports by Brooks.
Frank Robinson. Mason Foster was in a private...
Yes, to you, Mrs. Robinson. Sorry.
Here's to you, Joe DiMaggio.
No, that's good. That's good.
He was in a private Instagram exchange...
Earl Monroe.
...with a fan, and he took a shot at the organization and the fan base. Foster told the fan, blank this team and the fan base, followed by six laughing emojis. He also told the fan, yeah, I'm not blanking with it. Or being a scapegoat to make fans feel better about these big money people who ain't playing or getting dogged out. Finally, he said in the exchange, yeah, I'll try my chances and go to a winning team next year. Love the Redskins, but this ain't it for the African. Hashtag love.
Wow.
Well, this fan who was in a private Instagram exchange with Mason Foster released it. So it became public knowledge. And now there's a team already in a great deal of turmoil, obviously, having to deal with another level of turmoil. Jay Gruden, the head coach, said, "I really don't even care. It's a private message. I know Mason and how hard he's worked and how hard he plays. I know he wouldn't say anything public to do that. It was a private deal. He could have been messing around.
Yeah.
I don't know the intent of that message. I don't really care." Another reminder, you can't trust anybody.
I agree with that.
It's one thing, and there is a difference between the Senators' situation and this situation. The Senators were amongst teammates. You kind of feel like, yes, you're being driven by a human being, but he's not really paying attention to what's being said. Maybe that's a mistake. To give this information or these viewpoints directly to a fan, if I'm the fan, I'm not doing anything with that, but that's just me. Maybe this fan was seeking his 15 minutes of internet glory.
Unfortunately,
you got it. What do you do now?
Unfortunately, I think that's what it is, because it's interesting to me, because I see this a lot in baseball when it comes to the code of the clubhouse, that the code of the clubhouse is more important. Keeping other people's secrets is more important than whatever your teammate may be doing that he wants to keep secret. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the code. And the code exists in lots of different platforms, lots of different industries, lots of different businesses. There is that code. If an athlete communicates with you via or just personally, privately, it kind of is a Delta Bravo thing to go and spin that out in the social media world just to go, hey, look what I got. Let's see how viral I can go today. Or maybe they've never been viral and they've seen people who've gone viral and they want to go viral badly. That's sad to me.
I've made the argument that with the advent of social media, cameras on cell phones, basically everybody walking the face of the earth is in fact a media member.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's probably what this guy was going to. So to me, this leads to, when do we get to the point where people start? I know a lot of people have, and I tip my cap to you if you have to make this decision, but when does social media start going away? Does it continue to get bigger?
Well,
or does it go away?
I think there's going to be some sort of correction, because I do think that people find this stuff very unbecoming. You know, when people get too loose on Twitter or social media in what they put out there, there does need to be some standards of civility. There's got to be some rules. You know what I mean? And I'm not a huge rules guy, but there does have to be something. Otherwise, people are just going to go, you know what? I'm not tweeting. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, Gruden went on to say, "I do, however, disagree with that guy posting a private message out on social media. He broke a code there that I don't agree with. As far as Mason, I have nothing but respect for him as a person and a player." So it looks like they've already moved on from it. People say things in frustration all the time.
If somebody, and there's something to be said for that. If you are having an email exchange with somebody, like say you asked me a question and I responded to you personally, is it cool for you to go and take what I wrote and go post it on social media? I suppose you can, but really?
So let me ask you this then. So Patrick Peterson never went on the record, never in an interview, never in a video, nothing, saying that he wanted to be traded. But that story came out.
Yeah.
Because somebody somewhere heard him say it.
Well, somebody or two people that have relationships with Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Have relayed that.
His agent and his cousin.
And his Dion.
And his Dion. That's good. My Dion.
What's more important, though, is it getting the truth? Or is it the way you got the truth?
It depends what the truth is. If the truth is something important that needs to be in the civic purview or in the light of day, then I say absolutely. But there's standards for that. If it's all about, hey, I could embarrass somebody and go viral, it's a lot of negative energy.
That seems to be the goal for a lot of people.
I know. And that's unfortunate. But that's kind of the spinoff of social media, where two things happen, okay? Number one, people without a lot going on in their lives see other people with perceived lots going on in their lives and big audiences and big platforms, and they're jealous. And number two, they see all these people enjoying life and having these great experiences, and they're not having them. You don't realize how fake all this stuff happens to be. You say it all the time. You can narrow it down to Facebook and just go, okay, really? From the Photoshop pictures to the I'm here, okay? To the expressions of love to significant others.
Look how happy I am.
Look how happy I am. That's exactly what it's creating psychologically.
I just wanted to say happy anniversary to my wonderful, amazing, gorgeous wife. Well, tell her.
Right. Tell her. Don't tell us. You don't need to tell us. Right? It's very, very true. And there's a lot of psychology studies being done about this. There's a lot of psychological damage that is done by social media by people who think that the whole world's a party and they're not invited. I don't even know how disingenuous a lot of social media can be. Now, Twitter's different.
Hold on, I'm taking a picture. I'm taking a picture of my banana so I can tweet it out. Because that'll make people jealous.
Let the record show, there is literally a yellow fruit, a banana in front of him.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, in the situation of that, if an athlete gets back to you, just take it for what it's worth. If the athlete comes out and goes, yeah, by the way, I hate the team I play for and I decapitated somebody and that person's hidden in my basement. Then you alert the authorities. Then you put it out there because it's important.
I think just people who aren't that smart or savvy have now unlimited access to let everyone know what they think. Whether that's complaining about your team, saying that you didn't think we landed on the moon or whatever.
Yeah, true.
By the way, Steph Curry said he was obviously joking. And now he's going to NASA.
And yet NASA is going to bring him in for a tour. And he's probably going to get to see all sorts of cool stuff. Probably get to go into some zero gravity chambers.
Along those lines, I don't believe that Kate Upton is a real person.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever existed. And everything about her is invented. I'll just let that
You'll
float.
Actually, I don't think anything about her is fake, actually. Come to think of it.
All right, coming up, an extra scorchy Bickley Blast. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.